listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day on this Pentecost Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. What is the language in which you hear grace? Sisters and brothers in Christ, I think that is the question at the heart of Pentecost. What is the language in which you hear grace? Now, for most of us, not all of us, but most of us, English, of course, is our language. I'm not talking about that. And frankly, when you think about the language that we speak, many of us have not heard grace in English. So many in the world have not heard grace in English. Our words have often been used and heard to promote anything but grace, right? In our cutthroat and angry or depressed or pain-filled, confused, even downright cruel and evil world, many have not heard grace in English and in other languages as well. In 2015, Gary Chapman wrote a book about the five love languages. Anybody read that? Maybe you figured out what was your love language. This book came out and we all thought about ourselves. What was best for me? Is it words of affirmation? That's a love language. Is it words? Is it quality time that somebody spends with you? Is it receiving gifts or acts of service or physical touch? Which language, which love language is mine? I'm kind of asking a similar question to that when I'm asking, what is the language in which you hear grace? I'm asking a similar question to that, except the language of grace doesn't just benefit you as the individual. That's more in line with the book. I think love, of course, benefits more beyond just the self, but the book is really about, you know, what is the love language for you? This is going beyond that. What is the language in which you hear God's radical grace and inclusion and welcome and embrace? And what is the language in which you hear forgiveness and peace and joy for everyone? How do you hear that? How have you heard that in your life, in your days? We all have stories like that. In Bible study, I asked this question. We spent a little bit of time talking together over at Dolores' house on Monday night about the different languages that we speak, even if you only speak English. Maybe you speak in different languages. And I started, just to give an example, with my perennial example of baseball. I speak in the language of baseball, right? You poor people. It's always my example. And it's not just because I love the sport. It's because I see images there. I see messages there. I see symbols, for me, of grace. And so you've heard lots of that, like the sacrifice or the way that no one stands up above anyone else. I read a book called Baseball as a Road to God. I mean, this is a spiritual thing for me just as much as it is a great joy in my life. But what is it for you? I mean, for some, you share that with me. A clue into what languages we speak is who will perk up when I bring up different illustrations, maybe in a sermon. So some of you do perk up when I talk about baseball because we both speak baseball. Others are rolling their eyes like, here he goes again, right? What is your language? Others might speak travel. Travel might be the language where they really hear God's grace and God's radical welcome. Others speak quilting or maybe another craft language. Others speak political action or justice advocacy, marching in unison and singing protest songs. You really perk up if we talk about that, if we talk in that language. Others, in Bible study, talk about speaking movies. You speak in the language of movies. You perk up, oh, I love movies. Or maybe it's soccer. Or maybe it's nature. What is the language that speaks to you and the language where you really get to experience or talk about or understand God's grace, this gospel around which we gather every Sunday, and especially on this Pentecost Sunday? In Bible study, lots of stories came out. Lots of us can speak different languages, and lots of us speak the language of relationship. Lots of us have experienced grace in relationships. We speak the language of relationship when forgiveness is shared between two people. We all have stories like that, hopefully. We got a glimpse of grace in that forgiveness that's shared. We got a glimpse of the gospel, even God's own self, through maybe laughter that's shared. Or maybe when a surprise is shared between two people in a relationship. These are tangible Pentecosts. These languages, and there are so many, there are so many languages in which we hear grace and gospel. Today, friends in Christ, the Spirit rushes in again, whether we're ready for her or not, whether we're receptive to her or not. Holy Spirit descends on us on Pentecost and stays with us. The question is, how do we hear it? How do we know it? How can we trust this and allow her to move us outward? Pentecost is the story of grace blowing in. You could say grace blows if I was to title this sermon. Grace blows, but I don't title my sermons usually. There's a double meaning in that, though. Grace blows because grace isn't always so great, because grace changes everything. And that's not always comfortable. When grace comes rushing in like a mighty wind, things change. And I don't know anyone who truly likes change. I mean, even the most kind of out there and open to change among us, when the thing that we care most about maybe changes, it's hard. So in a way, when grace rushes in, blows open the windows and the doors, we're not caring for it so much. Pentecost is the story of grace blowing in, but then also grace resting on the heads of everyone who is gathered. Grace blows and grace stays with us. Thanks be to God. She both changes everything and she never leaves us. This Holy Spirit, this heavenly dove, stays like these tongues of fire on our heads, infuses into our bones as we breathe her, even into our hearts and into our lungs. Holy Spirit shows up and stays. And so even when tragedy strikes, the Holy Spirit stays with us. Even when tragedy strikes, and it has stricken us again this week in these horrific shootings in Santa Fe, in Texas. It's stricken us again, even in our own community here at Shepherd of the Valley, even as death comes, as it has this week, just yesterday, with dear brother George Barber and Verlin Scott. They both took their last breaths on this earth just yesterday. And still, Holy Spirit stays, even as pain and confusion and fear about the future and anger about the past, even as sorrow and sickness, even as all the places, even in all the places where the cross is real, where suffering is real, even and especially with all that, the Holy Spirit stays with us, rests over us, over our bodies, over our heads, fills our hearts and our bones, and stays. And then, here's where it's more than just the love language book that's just about what we receive. Then, this grace language becomes even more. Grace stays with us, and grace also allows us then not just to enjoy the Holy Spirit for ourselves, but also to go out and in a similar way, share with others this different language, this new language of grace, this language that so many have never heard before, this language of grace and good news and acceptance and love, this love of God that is beyond all measure. I had a moment at our Synod Assembly this week. For those of you that don't know, we had our annual Synod Assembly. So all the churches in Southern California, we gather together every year. And this year, that was in Palm Desert. And for the first time ever, it was not at a hotel. I was so glad. It was at a church, where I think I've always thought it should be, at a church. And not just any church. It was at a church in the desert called Hope Lutheran Church. Hope in the Desert. What a perfect name for a church in the desert. And as we always do, we gathered for worship. And it was on Friday night. that Lutherans from all over Southern California and San Diego County, Orange County, some came all the way from Hawaii, Riverside County, out in the desert, and we all gathered together on Friday evening for the worship service that we always have. And you know, I'll be honest, for me, worship that night was, let's just say, less than perfect. Frankly, it didn't grab me. It didn't consume me. Like some worship services have consumed me in my life. They've just completely taken over. I won't tell you, however, that it didn't fill me. There were lots of mistakes. Lots of people didn't know what they were doing. Bishop's sermon, it was good. It wasn't great for me. There, I said it. Maybe I won't post this online. I love our bishop, but he seemed a little distracted, and I know he was just exhausted. The music was good. It wasn't great. I'll just say it. The band was a little bit off. They weren't my favorite songs. The readers were good. They weren't great. I'll just say it. They didn't seem to know exactly what they were doing. It looked like maybe they had been handed something right at the last minute. Nobody really seemed to know where they were going or what they were supposed to do. I mean, imagine bringing people together from all over the place and leading a really perfect, seamless worship service. It just wasn't happening. It wasn't the best worship service of my life. And yet, I know you all can't relate to that here, right? That was a little too hearty of a laughter than I was expecting. It wasn't the best worship service of my life, and yet, I won't tell you that it didn't fill me. In the midst of it all, and I should tell you, I was sitting up in the balcony. It's a great big sanctuary, and I got there a little bit late from our dinner, and I got up into the balcony, and so I just had this view of the whole space and everything that was happening down below. So it was nice to have that kind of that high up there view. And as I looked down, I got this wonderful sense that the Holy Spirit shows up there anyways. It was like I saw little tongues of fire resting on all these good people. All these good people from all over the synod. They're well-meaning. They worked hard to bring all that together. We all did. They're faithful. They're loving. They're broken too, including myself. It was just grace. It was grace. And you know, synodical worship is often like this for me. It's a little underwhelming on one level, but I won't tell you that it won't fill me. I remember one year, Bishop Murray Fink, our former bishop, he loved to chant, but he, like me, was pretty atrocious at it. And he was chanting one time the words of institution. He loved to do this. And he would stand up there and he broke the bread and he said, "In the night in which our Lord was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it." And it was disastrous. And nevertheless, I sat there and it's just tears streaming down my face because it's real people. Just trying to be faithful, just trying to worship God. And it's not just about the people. It's about grace eking through. Grace finds a way in. The Holy Spirit finds a way in through the windows and the doors of our churches. And through the windows and the doors of our human frailty. Through the windows and the doors of our anxiety and our underperformances and our tension and our frustration toward one another, even our anger about the past and our fear about the future, all of that was present in the room on Friday night in the sanctuary at Hope Lutheran Sanctuary on Friday night. All of it was there. It was real, and yet grace blows in anyway. Holy Spirit rested on all of us anyway. Just like she does this morning. And we are all filled with the Holy Spirit this day. Whether we're feeling it or not, whether we like the idea or not, whether we're receptive to it or not, she is here and she's staying. She's not going anywhere, and she's also sending us out into the world to go and to speak this new language. This language that others in our community can hear and need to hear. A language of love, a language of forgiveness, a language of mercy and justice, a language of peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
of us at Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!